Hey everyone, we'll get you to the show in a second. Just want to give you the heads up about our latest Red Men Plus special offer. If you want even more Liverpool content in your lives, both in video and podcast forms, simply head to redmenplus.com. And if you sign up as a yearly captain subscriber and use the promo code RACE, R-A-C-E, you'll get 50% off a yearly subscription. So yeah, that'll get you covered for the rest of this amazing season, the search for a new manager, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of the new manager's first season as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain subscription, promo code RACE, and get 50% off. I'll see you all over there. Hope you enjoy this podcast that's about to start right now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I used a selfie stick for the first time in my actual life this week. It wasn't as bad as everyone said it was.
Wool.
Yeah. How do you know I'm a wool?
Because
you use one fairly often too.
No, I don't.
You do?
When?
Last week.
When?
When you did the new show.
Not at all.
No?
It's not. It's a tripod.
It's a tripod selfie stick.
The selfie stick attachment's in the box.
Is it a handheld, extendable thing that grips your phone at the end?
Yeah.
It's a selfie stick. It was good.
That is in the box, though.
I didn't feel as though I was like a tourist. I felt good.
Were you in London?
No. I was in the studio. I was in this room. But it was good. Don't get me wrong.
The one you put up with the video was dead shaky.
Slightly less shaky than the one when I did it with my hands. It's an important difference. So we've got loads of questions and stuff from people this week. This is the sixth podcast. We've done loads of podcasts, but this is the sixth of this new iteration of them. So if you just join us for the very first time, welcome to Red Men Podcast, where we talk about Liverpool stuff and we take your questions and we answer them and we have a general.
I've got a question for you. Go on. Were you wearing a half and half scarf when you had your selfie stick?
Yeah. I had a jester's hat on my cock. Wasn't related to football.
Why?
You know, I just liked how it looked.
All right.
Fancy.
Nice. And whereabouts were you in the studio with that?
you'll have to watch Mates TV to find out.
Nobody watches Mates TV.
My mum thinks I'm cool. So we've got an opening question this week.
I think she's got an automatic like set up on Facebook for you, Paul.
Comes from, no, it's just, you'd think that by the amount of stuff
first
she likes.
First comment and a like.
It's just that she spends a lot of time on Facebook. Daniel Robson. _Robson98. If you could pick any Everton player to be in our team, who would it be? Can be past or present.
Dixie Dean.
Fucking Dixie Dean. Go and shoot, lads. Best centre forward of all time. Really?
No.
I love that. I genuinely like the Dixie Dean thing. It's something. There's a divide bred into you between Liverpool and Everton, and of course Everton only held up on a pedestal. Of course, you know, the same way we held up guys from the past, obviously. But it's like the amount of eye rolling that happens when Dixie Dean's name comes. It's the same way as when we mentioned European Cups.
Yeah,
it's just like, oh, here we go again. The Dixie Dean shout. The man who scored 700 goals in 1922 by playing a different, basically a different sport.
The answer is Gary Lineker.
Ooh.
unbelievable centre forward. Mm. Like, and for Everton as well. Not yeah. like
for
you
the
know,
one season he was there.
Yeah, but he was brilliant that yeah. one season, wasn't he?
Didn't win them the FA Cup though,
no,
did he?
I tell you, the other one that I really liked that probably shouldn't be held in such high regard was Andrzej Kanchelskis, former Everton and Manchester United player. Mm. I loved him as a footballer when I was growing up. Like yeah. just a great right winger.
Yeah, scored a couple of goals on his Merseyside derby debut, no less, mm-hmm. when they beat us in 1995. Yeah, I hated that at the time.
Peter Beardsley.
Peter Beardsley, he's actually a very good shout. If I had to do one present, because it
was Nicky Barnby, Apple Saviour.
The question was asked as well by Reese S. Preston Esquire, who's clearly a massive Bill and Ted's fan, which is what I like to say. Because he said one player from the Everton squad, not including Lukaku, who would you choose? So I'll go present. And it's I think his stars faded a touch in the last season
still
or two.
A diamond.
But he is still a diamond. Ross Barkley. I, you know what?
That's the right answer.
That is that. I would love because and to be honest, all that is it. Tom Davies.
Oh, they are creaming themselves over Tom Davies.
Ketwin Kaiser, as they call him, or Toffee TV do anyway. I'd like it because I think Trent Alexander-Arnold is going to be a really, really good footballer for Liverpool, but so much that'll depend on how he fills out. Mm. Still young, still very slight as well. And then we just haven't had a really good quality, robust, physical Scouser in the team.
You weren't at the Legends game though, mate. David Thompson is all of those things is nowadays. He? Oh yeah, he's robust now.
He's still 5'4".
He's robust though.
Is robust like one of those? You mean rotund? We love you, Tomo. I would love another good quality Scouse midfielder. I mean, Ross doesn't love the fight.
No,
but Davies does. Either one of them, I'd be all over that. But yeah, pertinent because of course it's hashtag Derby Week across all of Redmen TV and a little bit on Retro and a little bit on Mates as well. We've got some amazing content this week lined up around that. I did me top five Derby moments over on Mates TV. We rewatched, Liverpool's 4-0, the first of the 4-0 wins over
nice,
Everton.
That was nice.
With the lads from Toffee TV right here in the studio, which was absolutely hilarious. We then watched the AJ game over on this, which is
not so good. Mersey Cup as well coming up.
Mersey Cup, yeah. We took a two-legged affair, took them on. PES 2017 against the Toffee TV boys. It's a belter. I'll be perfectly honest. This is just between you and me, Chris.
And Tom and everyone.
And Tom, everyone
and
listening.
And
the people,
subscribers on the website.
And there's people watching the video on the website. We had to replay the second leg because we beat them so heavily and it was unfair.
7-0.
But it was a far more competitive second leg. So watch those over both channels. And we've got loads of other bits and pieces coming up as well. So very, very exciting stuff. Let's get straight into it then, Chris. As it is, Derby Week. And it is the back of an international break as well, because we haven't got a game previously to talk about, but we have got a very, very exciting one to look forward to this weekend. And this feels to me, this has got shades of 13-14 to me, and not in the same way that like both teams were really on a total high, and like Liverpool ultimately going for the title and yada yada, but it feels like the most competitive these two teams have been in a long while, with the exceptional most of 13-14.
Not just competitive with each other as well, though, competitive with others around the league.
Yeah, it's not a battle for 7th and 8th.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, we've had that a couple of times over the last few years, and it's not really anything to shout home about or write home about, is it? But right now, it feels like the form that Everton are in, and certainly since the turn of the year, they've clawed a lot of points back on the teams higher up the table than them. Liverpool had that, you know, we know we had that terrible January. It feels like, because of some of the games that we've had over the last month, that we are clawing our way back into form. And it just feels like the two teams are coming in at each other, both in a good way. And for me, it makes it such an important derby, because I really, truly believe that our top four chances rest on this game. Mm-hmm. And I think that should we go on and beat Everton in this game, I think we'll comfortably make top four. Whereas I think if we draw or lose this game, I think we'll struggle.
Yeah,
I'm not saying we won't, but I do think that we'll struggle to make top four.
Well, it changes the narrative, doesn't it? It changes from a Liverpool resurgent to a Liverpool, you know, because we said this, that not winning the other week puts, not being able to get over the line against Man City, it put that into different perspective, didn't it? Because we were looking so strong again in the top four. Whereas we had the conversation, it was last week, wasn't it? And, you know, like, yeah, I've still not sat down and worked out all the permutations as such. I'd give that a week or two, I think. But it, you're starting to look more and more at the games that other teams have got in hand, and you start to think, yeah, you know, there's having points on the board, but it would be nice to have more points on the board, which is a ridiculously obvious statement, but it becomes less and less like you don't want to be relying on your nearest rivals losing three games between now and the end of the season,
of course,
because that's a very unlikely thing to happen ultimately. One thing I'm kind of hoping for, and I've said this in a few different places, and I have to qualify this statement, is that I hope, as far as Merseyside derbies go, that this is the first in a run in the coming years of really competitive games. And I remember saying this about Liverpool and Man City as well. I love that rivalry. I want that to be a rivalry because it's a footballing rivalry. In that instance, it's not one built out of bitterness or whatever. This one definitely is, more so I think on the blue side. But I still want to get back to a world where Liverpool are the best team in the country and Everton are the, you know, second best team in the country. And I know you have more to, you have to live with it more because your brother's an Evertonian. So I guess it would probably be harder on you because ultimately a more competitive means Everton are more likely to get results in these games.
No, it's no harder for having your brother an Evertonian or what. I think that's a common misconception, to be honest. I think, you know, you get more stick afterwards, but you still want to win the game just as much as anybody who doesn't have a brother who's an Evertonian.
Well, it's the stick I'm talking about.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, well, maybe in that scenario, look, it's been, what is it, 18 years since they've beaten us at Anfield now, and, you know, 228th Merseyside derby, at some point they're going to have to win at Anfield. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's not this season, but it's difficult for everybody in Liverpool because, and, you know, people abroad and stuff. I think the abroad stuff's slightly different because there aren't really many Evertonians abroad.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my brother went to San Francisco Everton thing to watch their Everton when they beat Man City 4-0. He was in San Francisco. There was three other people in the entire bar for the game, and that was like after half time. Yeah. You know, he was the only one there for kickoff, and that's what, you know, Everton abroad feels like. It's just one man who's essentially insane in the pub at 4 o'clock in the morning, and that's what Evertonians are. They're just that insane man who like stick and who like to get beat by other teams consistently over the lifetime. And yeah, Liverpool fans have had it really good in the derbies over recent years, I think, all told. You know, we watched that AJ fan. It was 11 years ago, Paul, since their massive derby win, and we've had 2-4-0s in the last few years.
Yeah.
We're lucky. We're a better side.
Yeah.
I'd like Liverpool to win the league, and I'd like Everton to finish. Like, that's my dream scenario. I'd like them in the cup final and to beat them every single year.
Yeah.
That's mainly down to the fact that we do beat them every year, pretty much, you know. If it was a bit more even, I'd reconsider whether I want Everton second.
Yeah.
But, you know, then at that point I might be like, actually, you know what, I'd probably rather have Middlesbrough second. We've got their number.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the planet as it stands is for you and Barry from Toffee TV to do your combined 11s.
Combined.
He was talking about this notion of eight Everton players and blah, blah, blah. And obviously, I don't want to step on it, but I'm not sure about how many Everton players would get into my combined 11, but I think about their squad and I look at, once again, this happened a few times of late. I think there's some, you could plug the gaps, the glaring gaps in our squad with a number of their players, and, like, you know, rather than fix it down to who would be playing in the first 11, I think, you know, looking at their squad, I think you're looking at, I think you could definitely solve our left back issue, and I'm sure we have a left back issue per se, but, you know, having if I could take Leighton Baines, Tom Davies, Ross Barkley, and Romelu Lukaku,
you'd be laughing.
Yeah,
you'd screw them as well,
and we'd be skinned. And of course, this is the fantasy world where we just decide not that this is not reality, by the way, because it couldn't be. But, you know, the players they've got in there, they've got some, and we're back to a position now where you see some of the Everton teams of the past. You go back to those Everton teams in the mid-noughties and the players that they had in there. You know, these are they've got a good crop of youngsters coming up as well. This is again a good Everton team with a very, very good manager as well, and a manager who's got a good track record against Liverpool as well. Like, so, again, this could be one of those derbies that we look back on in years to come as one of those watershed moment.
It really could be, and I think a lot of it depends on what the manager decides to do, whether he goes three at the back or he stays with four at the back. I mean, the Coleman injury was absolutely horrendous, double leg break. I think everyone around football is looking at that, and that is terrible for a guy who's worked so hard from where he started from to where he is, and a guy who clearly loves Everton as well.
Yeah.
You know, signed for, was it 60,000 they signed him for out of nowhere? Who's come in and been one of the best right backs in the league consistently over probably a 6 or 7 year period.
Yeah.
Him and Baines were the envy of everybody at full backs for at least 2 years. Mm-hmm. You could comfortably say they had the best full back. So I think for me, Koeman's got a big decision to make about what he does. I know I was talking to Barry from Toffee TV, and he said he'd rather see them go three at the back than see Holgate brought in at right back.
Yeah.
Which I found quite interesting.
Well, it's interesting. I've seen chats on Twitter about it, and some other Evertonians saying, "God, I pray we don't play three at the back, because we'll get killed if we play three back." What would you be most nervous? What would make you most nervous?
What would make me most nervous would be for them to just continue playing the way that they're playing, and that's the four at the back. To be honest, I'd like to see them change it to three at the back, because I think it's quite downright stupid to change a formation for a game as massive as this. To be honest with you, now I can. You know, if he's got squad deficiencies and stuff, yeah, maybe he has to do that. But it's the fluidity that Everton have been playing with. Everybody knows the role, and everybody's been playing well together at the moment. And so to change that, I would fancy our chances against the three at the back.
Yeah.
You know, and especially you could almost have one-on-ones with Coutinho, Firmino and Mane against three centre-backs. And I like them chances.
Yeah, no, absolutely. How important is it to Liverpool that Jordan Henderson might be back in contention for this game?
I was looking into some of the stats on this, actually, and Jordan Henderson, we're averaging, I think he's played 25 games this season for us, we're averaging 2 points a game he plays in the Premier League. That drops to 1.6 without him.
2 points a game is top four. By and large.
And we drop to 1.6. We score more goals with him in the side. We concede less goals with him in the side. I think it goes to say we win more points. That's probably how that works out. He's one of the top midfielders in Europe now. Never mind the Premier League. You know, you just have to look at his passing stats and the way that Liverpool play with him at the helm. Whether I think it's important that he starts this game,
yeah,
I probably don't.
Yeah,
I probably think, look, if he is 100%, get him in. But if there are any doubts whatsoever, give Chan the opportunity and let him take it with both hands, because quite frankly, he has done over the last couple of games.
Yeah, and it's been mentioned, I think actually the Rap podcast covered this quite nicely the other week, about how he seems to thrive in those games where it's all blood and thunder, it's all going on. Mike, the thing for me is, and look, Emre Can can do this, but again, if they're going to play, let's say they start the midfield of Garner and Davies. Snyderland's meant to be injured, isn't he?
Nice.
We'll see whether that's the case or not. But if they were to play Davies in this game, this is the Merseyside legends, local lads, you know, they should be fueled by this, and the forwards and the fires of these games. You know, Steven Gerrard, I mean, just, you know, probably just used to get sent off in them loads. But it would be nice to see someone have this lad come into this game thinking, oh, great, you know, I'll play with freedom, and someone to go and plant one on him. And I think Jordan Henderson's the kind of guy to do that, and I think he's the kind of guy to do that in the right way. Now, we saw Emre Can really stepped up in terms of his... I think he had a little bit of a running battle with Yaya Toure against Man City, and I think he thrived on it.
Good.
But there's a difference between him... I think he looks up to Yaya Toure, and I thought that raised his game. I'm less convinced, or less confident of an Emre Can trying to impose his will on someone who he feels he's
better than.
Exactly.
It's a really interesting viewpoint, and I suppose you will not find out the answer to that question until the game itself.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'd like to hope that you're wrong in this case. I'd like to hope that he just goes on there and continues his form from coming up against Yaya against Manchester City. But look, Emre Can's been playing well last couple of games. He's fit in really well. Like Lallana and Wijnaldum will be backing him up. That midfield has been key in the last three games for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Can probably deserves to start off the back of that if Henderson's not 100% fit.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting one, isn't it? We kind of said this the other week, isn't it? That I'm glad at least we're in a position where the conversation can be had, where we go, well, Jordan Henderson's back. Jordan Henderson's at 90%, say. Whatever, I'm just making numbers up there.
No, they're real numbers.
You're right. Oh, fine, cool. Okay, I'm cool with that then. That's great. Jordan Henderson starts, no problem.
90-12 is not a real number.
11-100. we can say, yeah, okay, Jordan, you know, we don't, you're not needed. There's no need to throw you in here. There's a lot of games left to play. Well, there's not. Comparatively, there's not, but there's a lot of important games left to play. Each one of these is important to be able to put the best, strongest team out between now and the end of the season. And you'd hope, again, a month ago, I'd be thinking, nah, no chance, Emre Can. Mm. Jordan Henderson's got to go in here. He's so vital. But, you know, as you say, he seems to be slowly turning the corner, which is
this is what Can does, isn't it? Let's be honest with you. But, no, what you said a minute ago was right. Jordan Henderson would thrive in this game. This is the type of game where Jordan Henderson steps up, stands toe-to-toe with someone, mm-hmm. and palms them away. Whereas there are question marks over Chan. I think you are right in saying that. I think there are no question marks whether Jordan Henderson can do it. Mm-hmm. He'll go in there, he'll dominate the game if he's at 100%. And I think if he does play and he's playing at 100%, we'll win the game,
yeah.
because we'll dominate from the middle.
Yeah.
Chan, there are a few question marks, and you're not quite sure how that midfield is. But based on the last month and the last month alone, I think we should be all right in the centre of the park.
One thing that's really interesting, that's just Empire the Cop put a graphic out, and a few different people got hold of it.
Yeah.
About Roberto Firmino.
Basically the best forward in Europe, yeah. but doesn't score the goals of the best forward. So we're measuring him not on goals, but on everything else. Yeah, good one.
Yeah.
One,
of every forward in Europe's top five league, Firmino is first in sprints, first in chances created, first in distance good, first in tackles, first in passes. And exactly,
he's going to win the Golden Boot.
Well, no. But here's the thing. That's a good point. Like, but what's good about it is that No one expects him to be top of that. You know what I mean? No one's looking at going, I wonder where he stands. Like, of course. But what I like, what I think would be a concern is if he was like seventh and yeah. all those things, you'd be thinking, what do you do? But when you consider what
it's reinforcing what we already know, isn't it? And it's good that should be used for.
Yeah, it's reinforcing what we know, and it's also reinforcing, I guess, what we know of what Klopp wants from the role as mm-hmm. well. To be perfectly honest, you know,
how do you know he doesn't want third?
Doesn't want third or fifth.
Yeah.
Klopp wants the best, mate.
Yeah. Wenger would want fourth.
Yeah. yeah. But I think it's really good. And it's another thing that tells you everything you need to know about why Daniel Sturridge hasn't thrived this season and why I think Divock Origi struggled a little bit, because, you know, we've not been as tactically diverse this year as we were last season on the clock. We tried a load of different things. Mm. We've seen hints at a few different things.
We've tweaked
this
rather than
yeah. You know, we've seen us. It's been more in game than anything else. Mm. I think, you know, we've moved to three at the back briefly. We've tried a diamond in certain things. We've tried 4-2-3-1, but only for spells of football matches. Whereas, you know, we've said this before about how Liverpool play and how they approach it. It's weird, and I genuinely wonder whether this will carry on next season, whether that is the blueprint around everything else. Therefore, is built, and be interesting to see actually. Because if what's useful is about the Firmino stuff. Past all the confirmation bias is you start to form a picture of what you're looking for. I think it makes the scouting for players who fit that bill a little bit easier. Simple fact is, go and look at who's second and all those.
This is the thing, and look, I love these like infographics and stat based stuff on players and that. But for me, you've really got to have at least the top five.
Yeah.
Because then you're painting a picture of what type of player that is, and yeah. whether there is somebody who's second who's scoring 30 goals a season. Mm. Because it's great having Firmino coming first in all of these categories. But if none of the top five are high goal scorers, that would make me as a fan go, okay, well, if we're going to continue with this, where are we going to get the goals from?
Yeah.
And then I'd reevaluate my opinion of whether there is a striker in world football that can do this job, or whether we're going to need to get more goals from Sadio Mane, whether Phil Coutinho might need upgrading to get 15 to 20 goals a season, or whether we need a number 10 to chip in as well.
If Lewandowski and Aubameyang are 2 and 3 in that, then you go, yeah, because you can see that that's clearly there's clearly a Klopp theme going on. No, I agree.
That's where. And this is where we all let ourselves down. Anyone who produces fan-like content and stuff, all let ourselves down, is that it's great to have the shiny veneer, but we need to be able to look beneath that and see what it is to then make a balanced and informed decision on things.
Does that have any impact on this week's stature?
It does, Paul.
Absolutely amazing. I look forward to that one, certainly.
Got some great comments on that, actually. We've got 11 comments on our website.
On the website.
It's a record.
That wouldn't surprise me. The most comments since we got rid of the forum and started shutting down all the spam bots that infested the site many years ago.
There's still 40,000 spam bots.
if only you could get £2 a month out of spam bots.
I know.
If only. Oh, well. We wouldn't be sat here doing this podcast. We would have our avatars, our three-dimensional VR avatars taking our place as we were sitting off. I would say a beach, but that'd be weird. I'd be lying down. I don't think it'd work in that regard. I've not thought this through. So, time for Get in the Bin. Well, we pick one thing.
Go ahead, kid.
Don't ever.
Go ahead, kid.
That's weird.
Let's do it. What's your Get in the Bin? Kid. You're putting kid in the bin, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm putting people trying to sound more Scouse by saying, you've got people go, lid, like you'd ever, you know what I mean? I get it if you're the lid and it's a thing that comes naturally to you, like you're 16 and all your mates say it, but it's one of those things, isn't it? No, it's not what I'm putting in the bin, but you're right, it should be.
I didn't say it should be. I like it.
Pick one thing. There's two types of people who say lid. There's three. There's people, again, for whom it comes naturally, who, again, it's part of your culture. It's a more of a youth thing. There's the people who are older who say it ironically.
Yeah.
And there's people who are older who don't say it ironically. I've got a problem with the latter of the three more than the previous two.
Why? So, all right, okay. What if they just mentioned it in a statement or in a sentence, but it wasn't referring to a person?
It's more like
I've got a new lid for my box.
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh yeah, that's always wow me. Is that up. Okay? Yeah, definitely.
Is that all right, though?
I've got a real problem with fucking nouns and fuck. Yeah, definitely. But no, the thing that I want to put in from Liverpool FC culture, I want to put in the bin. And I say Liverpool FC culture, it's something surrounding Liverpool culture and it's surrounding the Merseyside derby because it's derby week. We've done a little bit on this in the past, but it's the murderer's chance, and this is an Everton thing. But I think Liverpool are, to some degree, culpable the same way we're culpable whenever football chants and banter goes too far. It's never there's no such thing as it's never a black and white thing. It's never one side is the baddie in this regard. And but this is an ongoing thing, and it is something that affects Everton Football Club, and you know Liverpool have it because it would be churlish of me to have a go at, you know, Evertonians, have a go at like Manx for certain things when there is a percentage of Liverpool's fan base that still sing things about Munich and blah blah blah. But for me anyway, it's the problem with the murders thing, and it's the wall pushing stuff, is that the vast majority of the people who are involved in it would never dream of doing it in the normal day-to-day life, but it's that collective gang mentality that everyone, you get together and it's acceptable to do at the footy, and it's one of those things where
it's not, by the way,
it's not. Well, no, completely not. And you know, and I think the in inverted commas banter from the Merseyside derby's crossed the line big time in the last 10 years or so. I think, and I think that's because I think football culture's gone that way. I think there's a restraint that's been lost with a culture of people who handed down from generation to generation. What seems to be getting handed down now is this notion of we hate them, and people taking that at face value. And so there's a generation of younger fans who genuinely feel hate when. Anyway, my dad always said to me, "Don't use the word hate. You have to reserve hate for real strong things. You know, like Nazis." And
people
rapists and paedophiles
playing. And they're not playing. They got salt on them, you fucking dickheads.
Plastic glasses.
Getting started. But this is plastic receptacles.
But this is the point, isn't it? And I think this gets carried down. And the whole murders thing is that, you know, I've seen Everton fans going on about the legitimacy of people's children, and I think there's. Again, Liverpool are not free and clear in this because we've sang songs about people's wives and stuff like this at football matches and stuff, which again, I think, crosses the line. But then the line continues to get blurred. And if you're getting, if something's funny, because this is the difference. We go from the 80s when Evertonians used to call Kenny Dalglish Kenny Dogfish. Like, and you think of that now and you're like, why? That's shit. But that was the thing. And that's why you have Evertonians go, an older generation of Evertonians, like my soon-to-be father-in-law, stepfather, whatever it is, father-in-law, saying, Klopp, clippity-clop. And it's like, and it, there's nothing you can say back to that. It's actually more disarming than saying, like, you to call him a Nazi or something because he's German. You know what I mean? Like, it's more disarming to be daft funny. And that's what, like, the banter was for, you know, and that's what it's so much.
It's like why I like people calling people a meth or something like that now. It's actually well
call
better.
Call someone a meth or a divvy, and it's well worse than calling them a twat. You know what I mean? Because it's just, because it's, again, it's disarming. It's like, it's done with the right smile, and that's what's been lost a lot from these games. And I know the Toffee TV lads hated the Merry Christmas Everton thing, but again, it was just
it's not acidic, is it?
Well, no, exactly. It was just funny. It was just a laugh. It was just something spontaneous that came out from it. It didn't do anyone any harm. It didn't, you know, no one was going to bed thinking about that on the other side at the end of the night. It was just a fun, funny thing, and too much of that's been lost, and this is the thing, and it's all come back to the whole, to come back to the murderous thing. And people can say it's not about Hillsborough. I don't care if it's about Hillsborough or not. The point of the matter is there's no excusing Heisel. There's no, you know, you can look at the safety record, the stadium, you look at all the incidents around it, and there as everything, there are shades of grey to it. It's not important. People died at a football match. Making it into a stick to beat people with is just, it's, if nothing, at the worst, it's disgusting. At the very best, it's just a real boring lack of originality. You know what I mean? There should be whatever happened to reacting to stuff that you've seen, and maybe and hopefully, you know, some of this will start to fade out more and more. I would hope, there's some of the bitterness with Man United will fade out with us to them if we're able to get ourselves back to reasonable, or they drop off a little bit, let's be honest. And similarly, if Everton are able to have some more successes on the pitch, maybe they'll be more asked about that.
I think
that
a,
stuff,
a large problem with this, and it's definitely going in the bin, but it should be more than just the Liverpool-Everton thing. It should be more than just the murders. It's every football fan that does all of this type of stuff, you know. And there are Man United fans, the Liverpool fans, Everton fans, Millwall fans, you name the club, they've all got problems with this in some way, shape or form. It's much bigger than just Liverpool and Everton. And I think that, I don't know whether social media has fueled this in some way, mm-hmm. but giving people a lot of anonymity and a big audience in certain platforms isn't helping this, definitely. So it's one of those things, you know, people can hide behind Twitter photos and stuff. This is one of the reasons that I think that lots of people like Red Men and Arsenal Fan TV and all these type of fan channels is because they can see a face and they can see a consistent face, and a face you can't, you will listen to the podcast, but you know what we look like.
Yeah, it's the redmentv.com.
You can see that person, and that person's views are there, and they're there every single week. And, you know, whether it's sunny, whether it's raining, whether we've won, whether we've lost, we're there, we're consistent, we say the same type of things because that's our viewpoint. Whereas, you know, somebody who, let's say, is going from 15 years old and has a Twitter account and believes one thing and spouts a load of vile abuse, by the time they're 18, they might change. Well, and they'll just create a new account. Whereas we don't have that facility.
Yeah, it's true.
Our face is forever tagged in certain things. And, you know, there's things that I've said on camera that shouldn't have been said.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a lot older now. I'm 2 years older now. I'm more wise, if nothing else, that I wouldn't say that type of stuff. And I wouldn't say anything intentional to piss off people, unless it's a friendly banter.
Look at the
Why I Hate Man United video that we did a while ago. If you take that down to the crux of that video, it's ultimately because they're better than us. And I might say some rather mean things about a few people, like I might call Paul Scholes a big beanhead or whatever, but the fact of the matter is I was jealous of them because Paul Scholes was an amazing midfielder, and that's what football banter should be built on. Not on fucking murdering and chance and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, murders and death at a game of footy, like, you know. And that's the thing that gets me, is that the support for the big things, you know what I mean, like the support, the swell of support for Hillsborough and for Munich and for, you know, the Bradford
the
fire and
campaign now.
Exactly, you know, the Ibrox disaster, all this kind of stuff, these things, you know, and you think they would be enough for everyone to go, yeah, you know what, let's, you know, it's, yeah, put a human face to these things, and people seem to have less and less of a problem with them. But there's some things that transcend it, and I think that the murderous thing, I think there's a lot of people who, when it boils down to it, it's become a thing. I don't think a lot of people who do it think about it. It's the same way that Liverpool fans don't think about singing, young fans don't think about singing Munich songs. They had to do the week at one of the coach greetings, and there was a bunch of young lads who were probably about 13 sat on a wall, and they started singing Munich songs, and everyone went, boo, shut up, you knobheads, you know, blah, blah, blah. And this is the good thing, I mean, you see the social media thing is you've got, I think there's a lot of being young that you try these, you try things and you say things, you test the boundaries of your world, don't you?
Yeah.
And people, and this is what it needs to be though, people need to be stepping up. An older generation need to be able to turn around and go, shut your face. You know what I mean? Because this is the problem, that social media exacerbated big time, because again, this is just the same thing. 15 years ago, these people were in little forums,
isolated groups,
and they were in chat rooms that you had to literally go and see. Whereas because of Twitter and because of Facebook, it's in one news feed these days, isn't it? You know what I mean? So it does exacerbate it. But yeah, you're right. It's ultimately, you know, trying to gain points off death and heartbreak and all that kind of stuff needs to get in the.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Okay, listener questions then. Thank you very much to everyone who sent this one. And the first one comes from Timothy Farhan, on the Facebook, he's pandered to our ego tremendously, which is why he comes first. Hi Paul and Chris, just wanted to say that I'm really enjoying the Red Men TV's new podcast.
Nice.
Thank you. I'm a long time fan of Red Men TV and retro football TV content. Please keep up the good work. My question for your podcast is, what is the most optimistic you've been at the start of a season before a single football has been kicked, and why? Personally for me, it was after watching Istanbul Miracle 2005, the Steven Gerrard show in the FA Cup 2006. I was adamant that the 2006-07 season was finally going to be the year Liverpool would lift the Premiership title. That sadly still eludes us to this day. All the best and keep up the good work, Tim. Says great work, to be fair.
That's a really hard question, you know.
I knew my answer instantly on this one.
I think mine's 2008-2009.
Absolutely correct. That's the correct answer. I don't know. It was my correct answer. Why?
Because Rafa had been building each and every season, hadn't he? You know, we'd had the obviously the Champions League, then, you know, we had the FA Cup, but we consistently finished a place higher in the league, didn't we? And I just felt like we could skip it and get to the top of the league. I felt like, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo and all that were playing for Manchester United, but I thought with Fernando Torres there and with Steven Gerrard, the way that we'd ended the season before, that we could really step up and win the Premier League, and we were so, so close.
Yeah, no, completely. The reason for me was, it was one of those things. I'm a big fan of like signs and stories and all that kind of stuff, and it was after Spain won the Euros in 2008, and I put a few quid in them to win that, and I took my winnings, and because of the Spanish connection and all that kind of stuff, and you had the likes of Torres coming back buzzing from that competition, I took my winnings from Spain winning the Euros and put it on Liverpool to win the title. Because I had that feeling, it was just deep inside me, I couldn't explain what it was. I was just so convinced we were winning the league that season. And that was the one where every Friday I finished work and I'd go to the bookies and I'd put a quid on Liverpool to win the title every single week throughout that season. And sometimes it was really loud, sometimes it went out a little bit depending on the performances. But yeah, it was, so. And when we, you know, it looked like it was all going tits up in the January, and then we got really, really close, and it was like, God, there was that real feeling it was going to be our year. And I say ultimately it wasn't, but yeah, for me that was it. I like you said, we've been building year on year, and then it just had that real vibe about it, which is funny because 13-14 I didn't have that vibe at all pre-season. No. That was probably one of the lowest we've been. Before. And the fact that we didn't even get that until it was like end of January when we started to go.
That's the Hull, wasn't it?
Yeah, when we started to look at, well, no, I mean, we got beat by Hull, didn't we?
Yeah, it was after
like,
Hull.
Yeah, it was like we got into January, we beat Arsenal, we beat Everton. And we started to look at it and go, okay, and then it was obviously around the time with all the Hillsborough Inquest stuff as well, and it all felt like a perfect storm, but that didn't come in until right at the back end of the season. But yeah, it was probably going back to 08-09, but the last time I was that, yeah. I was dead excited.
I think the thing about the 13-14 season was that, you're right, it was the 25 years of the Hillsborough stuff, and it just felt, but it was only from, yeah, you're right, January, February time, when that started entering people's consciousness, collective consciousness, and everyone started talking about it in 25 years since Hillsborough, and we look like we're going to get justice for the 96.
You'll Never Walk Alone musical came out, yeah. And we were all singing that, and you had the, I think that might have been when the celebration of the 96 game might have happened, in fact it was, and then, so all the ex-players were back, and you had Margaret Aspinall on the pitch talking about, go and win the league, and all this, and it was like, yeah, this
Pharrell
is
Pharrell Williams was out with Happy, I mean,
that,
it
was a perfect
time.
Storm, mate, but unfortunately, obviously it never did, but like I say, that... I didn't feel that optimism at all. That had been drilled out of us by the end of the Benitez, the Hodgson, and then a bit of the Kenny regime, of course. Brilliant question, though. Thanks very much, Timothy. Brilliant. Ben Coates. I'm going to go with Ben Coates.
Nice.
Because why not? Have you ever had to sit in a home section while watching Liverpool, but it was an away game?
Yeah, Everton.
I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell the story?
Yeah, that was it. No, I was with my brother in, I don't know, I thought it was the Gladys seat, but I think he said it was the Bullens. Mm-hmm. I don't know the name of the stand.
Put all lower.
I don't know, maybe lower Bullens, I'm not sure. Like, but I'd thought for years it was the Gladys seat, and we were talking about this, I think it was when we were doing a Kick documentary last year, and he corrected me and said it was the Bullens and not the Gladys seat. Either way, I'm sat next to RSD. First couple of minutes, they start singing "We Don't Care What the Red Shite Say," all that bollocks that they do for every game, not just the derbies apparently. That's like their thing. Zedcast came on, was horrible. We end up beating them 3-1 anyway, and I couldn't stand up when Liverpool, you just cannot celebrate at Goodison if you're a Liverpool fan in their end, and every single time Liverpool scored I just squoze his leg dead fucking hard, like, and he was fucking fuming. He was at the point where he was going to dob me in. His own brother was going to stand up and say fucking copite. Yeah, red shite and all this type of stuff, and I'm like, are you for real? Like, and he's fucking comes half time, he's having a pop at me at half time, like, and I'm sort of cowering away. Thankfully, this was before the Red Men, so I could never do this now, like,
yeah.
And yeah, and then they all start singing "Stand Up If You Hate the Copites" or whatever it is that they sing, and Steve looks at me, and everyone stood up around me, and I just sheepishly had to stand up because people were starting to look at me. So I hate this, and I hate the fact that I did but I wouldn't be here today without it.
Oh, no,
so
absolutely.
I've had to stand up, and you know, it's one of my lowest moments, but also the entire game was one of the highest moments I've ever had.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a few, none that come close to that, but I do remember going to see Liverpool Palace. I think it was the opening game of the season back in 93-94, and we beat them. It was either 4-1 or 5-1. I was in with the Palace fans, and I wanted to wear my Liverpool shirt, and my mum told me I wasn't allowed to, so I had to sit with them, and it was like family friends. So it was their son, who's about 5 years older than me, and his dad, and my dad was in with the Liverpool fans in the away end, and it was one of the, I lost count of the score, and I turned round to my mate, I was like, what's the score? And he fucking flipped at me, like, you know what I mean, like I forgot, like, how could you forget the score? We'd scored that many goals, I genuinely lost count. But it was funny because there was a few Liverpool fans dotted about, and there was one Palace fan, there's an older fella, he was off his head, about five rows in front, and he was just kicking off at the little pockets of Liverpool, like screaming at them, hurling abuse, and I'd have been like 10, 11 or whatever at this time, and yeah, I genuinely started to shit myself. Like, I mean, this guy eventually got chucked out, but it was a good game.
The other one that stands out for me was when we went to Real Madrid. You know, I'd sorted the tickets for me and your dad, I think. I'd sorted all three tickets anyway. And mine and your dad's tickets were in the Liverpool end, weren't they? And it was something we were talking about, it maybe it was in the build-up or maybe it was on the way or something. And your dad's dream was to watch Liverpool against one of like the Real Madrids and Barcelona, and he'd never done that, had he?
Yeah.
And he really pissed me off actually in one way, because it was his dream, and I was like, I can't fucking split him and his son up. So I basically gave them two the tickets together so that your dad could fulfill one of his life dreams with his son by his side. Yeah. Like,
well, should just get beaten in the Bernabeu.
But still, you know, it's his dream, not yours.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I ended up in the Real Madrid section, not with the ultras or anything like that, and there was loads of Liverpool fans in that section. And I was on my own, and I was tomming it. I was like, exactly like Tom goes the match in the Real Madrid section.
With James?
Maybe it wasn't with James. Yeah, maybe it was the two of us then.
James Ward-Liston, the man who's delivered Chris so many tickets.
I know, and he and sorted that ticket out for us as well.
Sorry, James.
I blanked you out there, mate. I'm apologies. Yeah. Anyway, we gave it fucking large, like absolutely large, and to the point where at the end of it, like we were getting some funny looks and people were screaming in Spanish, which is fine. I don't understand it, so it's cool. And you can scream abuse at me in other languages. I'm not going to take it to heart. I just know that I'm going to sing loud, and that's what we did. But they ended up when some Real Madrid fans came up to us at the end of the game after us, you know, 90 whatever minutes of just screaming our hearts out when we're getting beat and whatever. And they just thanked us and said, well done, that's fucking brilliant the way that you did that and stuff like. Yeah. And that was the nice side of going and seeing your team and sitting in a different stand.
Yeah, absolutely. The only other, I think there's only the one more example. I watched us play Aston Villa. It was the last or the second to last game of the season. I think it was the last
12-13 or 13-4.
I can't 12, remember 13, 11-12 or 12-13. And Stuart Downing scored the only, I think he scored the winner for Villa, and it was just shite. We were in the upper main stand, and it was dead quiet, and we were surrounded by a load of like Villa day trippers, which was hilarious. Got chatting to this bunch of Americans who just were kitted out. They'd clearly gone the club shop and claret and blue themselves, and they were like, can I ask a question? Are these guys actually any good? We're like, no, not really, mate. And then of course they went and beat us pricks. But yeah, that was it. That was a bit of a shit experience. But yeah, really good question that. Thanks, Ben. Tom Blount. Is it too much to ask? Just go and dick all over the blue shite this weekend.
No, you can ask.
You can ask away. I think
Tom Blount's been a fan of Redmen for years. Yes. By the way, I've seen his name for years. Thank you very much for watching.
Good on you. Good on you, Tom. No, you're right. You've got to ask the questions, haven't you? Here's what historically would happen in this game is Everton starting to come up the hill, feelings of positivity, and they're looking and going, maybe this will be the one. And Liverpool put them back in the place. That's what has historically happened over the last 18
years. Push them back down the hill.
Exactly, over the last 18 years. So I wouldn't, you know, it would not shock me if Liverpool did that, you know, because I said this on Social Club this week, that I think they're only a defeat or two away from going, you know what, seventh is a decent season for us. We can rebuild and look ahead to next season. They're not too far away from mentally being on the beach.
Mm.
It would be lovely if we were the team that set that course for them, to be perfectly honest. But I do feel as though this one will be, there'll be a lot more to this game. It wouldn't, again, equally if this ended up as a mad 2-2 or 3-3 draw, I'd be equally.
I'd take another 90-second minute Mane winner, like.
Yeah, whatever. 3 points, whatever it takes. Harshal_B. On the Twitter, says, does Sacco's skill outweigh his attitude issues, and should he be given a way back if we can't land a top centre-back?
No.
Not
sorry. No, I just don't think that's right. It's a fundamental thing that I have. I think, you know, when we had this thing whereby in my old work we had a problem with a minority of people who caused fractions and stuff.
Not a problem with a minority.
No. It's, you know, it was three people of Polish descent, and my dad's Polish.
Some of your best friends are Polish.
Some of my best friends are Polish. Look, and they had problems in the kitchen with some of the English lads and stuff, and you can't. you can't get past that once it's done. If it's bad and it's in the workplace, you just can't get past it. And it took us like 2 months and stuff, and we ended up solving the problem, not in a way that I agreed with, to be perfectly honest with you, but I was the manager of the restaurant, but I had to work within the confines of the rules of the organisation and shit. There you go. That's like business talk ended with and shit.
And shit.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
That's what you mix me with, all that type of stuff. So I think my fundamental viewpoint on it is shaped from running businesses in the past, and mm-hmm. once you've got bad harmony in a place, you can't get rid of that, you know yeah. what I mean? And I think, you know, taking that to Mamadou Sakho, he's a great centre-back. I was doing this on the news this morning. Market value, I'd put him at £30-35 million, but value to Liverpool right now, what people think they can get him for yeah. is closer to £20 million, because everybody knows that him and Klopp have had a falling out.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like there's a way back for Mamadou Sakho. I think as Liverpool fans, we've just got to forget about him.
Yeah, no, it's, but I think it's one of those things, and I get the disappointment in it, because if nothing else, every time I play Pro Evo and I pick Liverpool's defence and it auto starts with Sakho right in there, and I go, he's better than Lovren, or he's better than Matip, and he's better than Clavan, and he's a proper licensed player, so he's got his cool air, and I think he's good. I put him in, but for a start, I think Sakho is a very, very good player. Even though our defence has not been vastly improved in his absence, I still feel more relaxed with Matip Lovren or Matip Clavan than Sakho in the team, because as much as I enjoyed certain aspects of his game, I think he's a really good player. He still had me on edge the way he actually moves and plays. He's an awkward bastard. But as you say, that thing of, there will be a disappointment, because in pure stats and numbers terms, you're making your squad worse by getting rid of a French international who is in prime age, etc., etc. But as you say, I still think Klopp, and this is nothing to do with ownership or money or whatever, I think Klopp would rather have less talented people who buy into the philosophy first and foremost. So no, I agree with that. I think, you know, who knows, you know, he's putting in a good shift for Crystal Palace, and maybe it's a last chance saloon type of thing, and maybe he comes back and he's grown as a person, because we always said it ourselves already, people can change people. Okay. And I wouldn't put it past Mamadou Sakho to completely change his ethic or whatever.
I don't think him as a person probably needs to change that much. You know, look the work that he did in the community and stuff for Liverpool. It's how he fit in with that squad, and it's about knuckling down when it's the right time to knuckle down. And
yeah,
that's what I think Klopp had the fallout with Sakho over, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Whereas you can look at like a Markovic or whatever and think, no amount of performances are going to change him for that. That is who he is, and you saw it with the likes of Balotelli, seen it with, you know, whatever, Acholani or whatever. If anyone's likely to do it, I think Sakho's as likely as anyone. But as we said already, I don't know what he's proven, how he would go about proving it, because, you know, when Liverpool struggled for bodies at points during the season, it's almost amazing that someone of that calibre has not even been considered for the first team, which should tell you all you need to know, I guess, about that. We've already had Daniel_Robson, because I've put this in a weird order. But he does ask again,
Robson.
Nearly asked the opening question, but would you have Liverpool win the league, but it meant you couldn't watch or listen to any of the games that season?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why?
Because we won the league.
Because you could watch it back on DVD at the end in one sitting and get bladdered and cry. You know, like, so the FA Cup final 2006, I was working for that game and we were shocked. I was managing a bar in Liverpool at the time, and it was like five deep. There was only two of us on for the two hours building up to the game, and then the manager turned up and someone else, the owner turned up and someone else. So we had about four of us. It was nowhere near enough, and it was mental. And then a barrel of Guinness leaked, or an entire barrel leaked all over the cellar floor. So I missed as Jamie Carragher's own goal went in.
Yeah.
So I was cleaning Guinness up off the floor while this game's going, Liverpool a goal down. And then it got to the penalties and the big scream went off, and it was just the most stressful day of my life. And I got in that night and I had the game recorded and everyone had gone to bed. It was like midnight and I had two bottles of wine and a load of beer, and I just sat there, got bladdered, watched the game and genuinely wept when we finally won it at the end. I could live with that if it meant I get to watch it. I'd go and watch the parades and I'd do all that stuff. Yeah, I'd take
final away to be shit that year, like
you hosting them all.
Well, we'd have to, wouldn't we?
Yeah, imagine. So what happens? Anyone know that? Well, I've seen the score. Liverpool won. Who were the goal scorers? So, oh, he's good. I've heard he's good. I mean, we only signed him in the summer, so I've not seen him play yet.
I think it goes without saying. We would definitely take that one for the team. So there you go. That's all the questions we've got for you this week. If you want some more of this, we're going to be answering a few more questions on the exclusive section, which is on the redmentv.com. I'm looking at the camera as I say this. If you're a subscriber, there's nothing more for you to do. You just need to keep watching, and it will become that. If you're listening to this on Acast or iTunes, please do give it a 5-star rating. Would be tremendous. Thank you. And if you fancy leaving a review, that would be great.
Reviews are boss. We love the reviews.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of this. You know, people talk about it's why. Look, we like people saying nice things about us, but we also. We're told it's for an algorithm that makes us look better. We like climbing the charts. We want this to be the best Liverpool podcast in the world. So the more reviews and votes and all that kind of stuff will only drive us up and tell your mates to get involved. Does it mean we'll get guests?
Yeah, for the podcast.
We're never getting guests on this podcast.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so it's... if you want guests, then you can. We've got exclusive shows, obviously, for listeners. We do 3 shows behind the paywall on the redmentv.com every week, normally around an hour each, covering every single aspect of Liverpool Football Club, news, match reviews, stats, as Chris has said, and loads of extra things coming up as well.
What about if Xabi Alonso said he wanted to come on the podcast?
Unlucky, Xabi.
What about Jamie Carragher?
We could do like a special podcast.
A bonus pod.
Yeah, it wouldn't be this podcast. This podcast will only ever be me or you. Occasionally, if one of us really sick, we might have to draft someone in, but let's cross that bridge when we get to it.
Sick.
Sick.
We come in, do the content, and then go over. We're sick. That's what we normally do.
Yeah. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks. And we'll be back next week with another Red Men TV podcast. Walk on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.